the usual, you know, bad weather. I had another bout with my issue Saturday. A real fun day. It was just lovely, you know. But I got delivered, and I won't go into the gory details. About 5:30 Saturday afternoon, I feel like $1 million, green and wrinkled. It's an old saying, but that's that. What else was I was going to say? I guess that's it. Oh, and I have a doctor's appointment. You can pray for me. I have a doctor's appointment on Thursday, so that's the earliest I could get in. So, anyway, I know what I wanted to tell you. I'm telling on myself this time. I passed the test yesterday. No, it wasn't that I didn't have to rebound from time to time. Oh, but I'm gonna tell you about a test I flunked. I not only flunked the test, I flunked it after I was delivered from it. Monday, I'm going to the bank because I deposit the church money and take our check and do our banking. I get in my car after I put some stuff in the back seat, and I laid the bank bag on top of the car. I get up here, Bethany, and I look. So I spin around and I come back and I'm looking all along the road like it's going to be there, you know. And I get up here, I turn down Tompkins, right where our yard is before our driveway. There it was, laying in the middle of the street. I'm kicking myself the whole way, every inch of the way. After I even got it, I was out of fellowship. But I did pause and thank God that I got delivered from that. So, you know, there's a saying, never say never. But I got a never say never. I'm never, ever going to put something on top of my car again. I don't care if it's a cup of coffee. It's not going to happen. Okay, I just confessed. See, I can flunk a test with the best of them. All right, back on TV. All right, let's be sure we're all in fellowship. I did tell you the false prophet has to be a Jew. And it has to be a prominent prophet. Can't just be some. There are false prophets all over the place. All kinds. Male, female, all ages, all races. They're all in different religions. There's all kinds of false prophets. And some of them do a mixture of truth and error. You got to be careful who you're listening to. Because in the last days, there will be many false prophets and false Christs. Dummies, even with the Antichrist running amok, there will be these other people saying, I'm the Christ. And one of the tricks they'll try to use on believers is, I'm out here in the desert. Come on out here to me. I don't think so. They're saying the Messiah is hidden out here in the desert area, and go to this remote place and you'll find him. Well, you have the Bible. The Bible says when the human race sees him for the first time since the first advent, they're going to see him coming with this horde of people in white out of the heavens. And every eye will see of those that are surviving and on the earth at the second advent. And of course, we'll be with him. And it says we're riding on white horses. I'm wondering, okay. I know horses are used for the four-legged animals in the Bible. And they're also used for airplanes, for instance. Chariots are found in the Bible because they didn't have automobiles. So in the list of products being imported into Babylon in Revelation 18, it includes chariots, among other things, other commodities. It includes chariots. Well, look at all the cars in America from all over. We import them in here. We made some of our own, but obviously we bring all this in. So chariot is used. What could you tell people in the first century and all these centuries since before the advent of the gas-powered vehicle? We do retain one thing in the language. Well, what's the horsepower of your car? Oh, this is a 400 horsepower. So we keep that, by the way. All right. The false prophet and the Antichrist will be taken alive. I think I have a verse in Zechariah. I'm trying to determine if it's specifically referring to him. But when he's captured by Jesus Christ, after all this success, and he's defeated at Armageddon, there's an individual who is taken before he is thrown at the lake of fire. If this is him, he's taken, and his right arm's disabled, and he's blind in his right eye. That's the side. The right is a side of prominence, usually. So there's that possibility in Zechariah. He has enemies. Now one of the things that I still wrestle with, and see, you have to understand that in studying anything in the Bible, we start to get a format and a foundation and build on it and develop and add, and oh, okay, that's not that, this is this, and we it gets more refined. It's like these prophecies. The people that studied this before modern times, they were going to wonder. U.S. has only been around as an actual nation, and that was in its infancy, when it didn't even have any kind of a navy. I mean, Britain had the big navy. We didn't even have a navy to speak of during the Civil War. And the Tsar of Russia, if I remember correctly, the Tsar of Russia, this is before communism, the Tsar of Russia sent his fleet out there and to block any European interference in our domestic squabble. He did. He didn't have to do that. It's funny, isn't it? Russia and the United States history. We got Alaska. We bought Alaska from Russia. It'd be kind of interesting to do a study of the history and the relations between the United States and the bear. But we know how it's going to end. We definitely know how it's going to end. He has enemies. And the thing that, you know, from reading these scriptures that I read to you, it looks like and appears on the surface that he has perfect control over the whole world. And he has people around the world that are worshiping him. Herald him as God. Now, everybody isn't going to take the beast. Not even those that do it out of a spiritual principle. I'm not going to do that. They won't get to him or whatever. That everybody won't have that, because we have people who will survive the tribulation. So nations are funny, you know. He has enemies. And his enemies politically, militarily, the king of the north, that's Russia. That's the king of the north. And they've been around a long time. The kings of the east, plural. This includes China and these other Asian nations of the Far East. They play a role in the tribulation. Because as this tribulation comes down to its concluding, its final climax, the Lord says he's going to drag all these nations in here. The reluctant ones and the non-reluctant. He's going to make a way for them. He's even going to dry up the Euphrates River so that the kings of the east can come across and get there on time. Again, even I, with all that I know, you just about have to go through the tribulation and to appreciate it. I guess we'll be watching it on the big screen in the third heaven, right up above us. Believing Jews, we've seen that. That go into hiding. All who refuse the mark of the beast. Those who refuse do on a spiritual principle. You know, you've got the Bible. It's been around for centuries. And why don't you just read in there who's going to win? And decide, no, you're not. But that's not the way people are. Even believers, you can show them in scriptures. Like the woman that came here, and I was talking about the Antichrist. She had a scripture. It was supposed to refute all of it. She says, it's appointed to man once to die, and after that, the judgment. I said, true. That is the general principle for humanity. They die, and then they wait for the final judgment. But there are exceptions. Look at believers that have died and been brought back in their natural body. They died once. They died twice. Paul was stoned to death. Lazarus. He got two go-arounds. He got to go to paradise, and then he was brought back. He was a fairly young man, and he lived out of the rest of his life. So there's that. There's that. And I said, plus, you have a verse that says he comes up out of the abyss. You don't come out of the abyss unless you died and went there. You didn't take vacation down there. You might look up, what is the deepest well that has ever been drilled straight down? You can find it online. The deepest one. And then they run into problems. It's too damn hot. Their equipment will not work. Conventional drilling, I don't know how many miles it is that they can drill down into the crust of the earth. Why did I say that? I don't know. Anyway, I got to run across it, that verse in Job that says, when an unbeliever, and before Christ took all the believers to the third heaven, where they've resided ever since, because you couldn't go to the third heaven before Christ died for sins. It's just God's standards. There is a verse in Job that says that when a person dies, we'll take an unbeliever, their soul goes through a specific path. They don't just go every direction. And that's when Jesus said and used the expression, the gates of hell. The gates of hell. You might run that one online too and see some interesting stuff. Because there's people that think that this is the actual spot on earth where people went to hell. But there's another verse in Job which suggests it is their soul takes a journey and it goes down through the ocean and down through a particular portal and into the underworld. I mean, you know, if it's in the Bible, it's worth it. And I'm not speculating. It's data that's in the Bible. And data and information gives you capacity for life and delivers you from all the goofy stuff that's out there. There's a ton of it. We've had centuries to build this mess up. And all we have to do and all you have to do is pray to God that He will make the truth clear to you and help that dummy in the pulpit in every way you can. That'd be me. You might not call me a dummy before God, but maybe you do. I don't know. All who refuse the mark of the beast, and of course the Lord Jesus Christ. And I added another one, I should have put it in here, G, the two witnesses. The two witnesses of Revelation 13, 3, and 12. He doesn't like them, and he's trying to destroy them. And he is frustrated. How hard would it be to kill two prophets out in the open? How hard would that be? Except God doesn't want them killed, and He puts this bubble of protection around them. The 144,000 take up and carry, whereas Moses and Elijah, basically their audience is the Jews in Israel. Their primary audience, it's like when Jesus was on earth, occasionally run into some Gentiles, but He would say, I have come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Gentiles, they got their turn with the apostles and on down the road. Primary audience are the Jews. Now, they're going to have kind of like Jesus had these disciples as his converts, and his head men for going out after the church age. The two witnesses are going to have converts. 144,000 young men who have never had physical relations with a woman. Virgins. It's just what the record says. And they're going to go out to all the nations. Well, how can you travel in the tribulation? I'm going to book a flight. Yeah, right on. You can't fly a plane unless you're in the system. So they're going to be like that Philip in the book of Acts, who was picked up and dropped by this chariot of the treasurer, of the ruler, the female ruler of Egypt at the time, named Candace. And he's reading in Isaiah. And Philip hooks up with his chariot and explains the nature of salvation to him. He becomes a believer. He's heading back to Egypt in his chariot. And he believes and is baptized by Philip. It's right there in your book of Acts. Acts is a fun book to read. You want some entertainment? Entertain yourself. The book of Acts. So the two witnesses, miscellaneous data paralleling Alexander and Antichrist. Both claim to be God. Both claim to be God or divine or special. Now, Alexander wasn't as crazy with it probably in his lifetime as this guy will be in the tribulation. But both, Alexander was fed this by his own ego and his mother, who said, and this is widespread belief in the ancient world, that some of us walking around out here are the product of a cohabitation between a human and a deity. That's a takeoff from Genesis 6 when this actually did happen. When these angels of Satan that were designated took the prettiest girls they could find on earth and had the Nephilim, the giants of old. Because when I went to school, there was mythology. And there were these half-half things, but there's a kernel of truth to it. They embellished it with all their stuff. They had, you know, just like today, they say there's women angels. All the angelic race is all gender-wise males. And they were supposed to be all celibate. Because there's no marriage and giving a marriage among the angels because there's no female angels. Sorry, ladies, there's just not. It's not being, you know, it's just the data in Scripture. Both enjoyed military success. Both had long hair. And that was a verse over in Deuteronomy. Alexander is often portrayed as fairly long hair. Whereas, and the peoples of the north, northern realm, they were all long hairs. The Romans were typically short hair. There's an exception everywhere. But the Romans were the short hair. You know what they called the people up north? It was derogatory. The long haired Gauls. If you want to watch a fun part of a movie, get the one Gladiator. The opening scene is worth the price of the whole movie. Gladiator. Where the Romans are facing the northern Gauls. We'd say the French, German tribes back then before they were civilized. See? They were called the barbarians. The word barbarian is in the New Testament. Barbarian is that the Romans had a sophisticated language, as for instance, and they made fun of their language. Barbar, barbar. So there's your but that opening scene's great. They really did a good job of setting that one up. Where the Romans are fighting and all this stuff's flying through the air. And the Roman turtle, when they launch all their fiery arrows, they all put their shields up over their head and form a deal, and these things are just bouncing off of them. I like that stuff. It's fun. But the whole movie's pretty good. Yeah, it's a fiction based, but it's based on, you know, there's some fiction that's historical that has merit because they're dealing with real things that happen to a degree. They have to add a storyline, relationships between people. Both have long hair. I'll let you read the one in Deuteronomy 30:42. Both are internationalists. He will not deny the existence of Jesus Christ. And this is very important. Did the people at the Tower of Babel deny the existence of heaven up above them? No. Why were they building a tower to heaven? Just a high tower? So they could sit around and flip God off? No. They wanted to assault heaven. This is the satanic spirit of the five I wills of Satan, where Satan said to the angels before they fell, after he'd fallen, and you solicit him, he says he's going to overthrow that throne and occupy it. And he owes his existence to the one sitting on the throne. But there's no accounting for this kind of idiocy and arrogance. But anyway, no. They thought they could reach it. This legend continued. We're going to overthrow God. The elite of the elite of the earth do not believe the stuff that you and I have been raised up on, a lot of it. They know there is a heaven and an earth that's flat with a dome over it and is easily accessible. If you will do your research, you will find this. You will find this out. You will find that in the late 50s, a big armada of American ships, etc., went down to the South Pacific to try to shoot nuclear warheads up and punch a hole in the dome. But their rockets got so high, everything got scrambled, and they came down. And they had to call the whole operation off. There were several operations going on at that time, but the one I like is, why'd you call it Operation Fishbowl? Well, I'll let you figure that out. The dome. Hell, Hillary Clinton said, we're still trying to crack it, cackling like she does. Yeah, they know the truth. They know what's going on down in Antarctica. You will not find anywhere that anybody's done a flight over Antarctica. Because it's not possible. There's a flight over the proverbial North Pole. All kinds of them. They've flown right over. We flew real close to it. And we were going to England on our way to Israel. We went over Greenland. They know it. Hell, they had a Simpsons movie. I know, that's the Simpsons. And they're all goofier now, right? But they put stuff in these things. They put stuff in it. Where they're in this thing, it looked like a modern football stadium with a dome. And they threw something up and all this water comes down. And you're supposed to figure this out. And then they had one episode where the old crudgy looking little man, old man, you know, he comes into a church saying flat earth, and they drag him out. They like to telegraph this stuff in movies. But we don't think. What are they trying to tell me here? It's entertaining. But they did this with the Spielberg movies. They've done it with the Stanley Kubrick movies. Not just that, but other things as well. And there's other movies that probably didn't get much deal. I saw one excerpt from one of them where the guy's in a sailboat and he's up against the ice wall and he's beating on it. And that's the circle that's inscribed on the face of the deep. Job. There's no circle inscribed on a ball. There is the equator, but it isn't inscribed. Even if you believe that. Yeah, people didn't want me teaching that. And then they said, well, I like they taught it, but I didn't like the way he taught it. You know what? If someone hands you $1 million in gold, you don't care if they drop it on your feet, hit you upside the head with it, you'd probably be happy with that. As long as you can drag off your gold. I didn't like the way you said that. Well, if it's gold, if it's truth, then just pray for me. Maybe I can say it in a nicer way. But Bible doctrine has to be taught with authority and emphatically. And after we get through here today, I'll be a nice guy. You can come say hi to me in my office. You know me. But I'm not up here to be mean, and I'm not trying to establish a bully pulpit, because God knows I can't get people to do anything if they don't want to. I could say it the perfect way, just like Jesus did, and they didn't listen. And you come to Bible class, you put yourself on the line. And sometimes it's going to hurt because you're out of line. But take it like a man or a woman. Take it like a grown-up. Sometimes I teach something up here and I look at myself, oh, I didn't do that right. So I get to hit myself. It's like a sword with two edges. So if I really behave myself in every way, then I don't have to wince when I say it. But because I'm not perfect doesn't mean I can refrain from talking about that. I only do this in love for your benefit. If it's in Scripture and it says this is what you ought to do, and some things are easy, just go do them. Don't be in violation 24/7. And when you are, rebound. I want to end this. Both are geniuses. Both die the sin of death at the hand of the Lord. His demise, as you sow, so shall you reap. How scary is that? Whatever seeds you throw out there on the ground, that's what you're going to get back. Whatever you sow, you'll reap. And anyone who kills by the sword must be killed by the sword. How many movies have we seen like that? The bad guys getting taken down. They're dying all over the earth today. Criminals, different types, that are living by violence. It is a part of the divine decrees. It is by the Lord Jesus Christ personally at the second advent. We saw that. He along with a false prophet will be cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 19:20. Oh, by the way, Satan gets two trips to hell. Well, one trip to hell. And he gets let out after, he gets released after 1,000 years. 1,000 years he isn't on the earth. Now that none of his organization is present. Nobody can feed into demonism. Nobody's possessed. Nothing. No false doctrines coming down from on high being channeled through whoever. But then he's let out. Right after 1,000 years to stir up the negative volition and to feed them because they're too stupid to figure out anything to galvanize themselves into a belief system. They need him. And he convinces them eventually that he's overcome hell and follow me and we're going to win this thing. In spite of the fact, it said all this stuff it says about him in the Bible was proven to be true up to this point. Why not the conclusion of the Gog and the Magog revolution at the end of the 1,000 years? 1,000 years will be over, and then there's this like this tag of history on it. The rapture occurred this year. The tag would be some 18 years. 18 years. We all stand down, let people be negative, run amok under Satan. And they all get together and learn something. And then they attack the citadel of the saints, and the old trick, fire out of heaven turns them to ashes, and we're done with it. After the dissolution of the universe, he will be resurrected and judged at the great white throne judgment, Revelation 21. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, be with us, help us in these evil times. In Christ's name, amen.